Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach. With me, Kelly Stone.
Hey, everybody.
Wow. So, we first met, I want to say a little over a year ago.
Wait, are you going to explain that we're, like, in your car? You're, like, driving right now, Mr. Uber driver?
All right, well, we're in my car. We're driving to a gig in Metairie. Big deal.
But that's kind of cool. I mean, that also, like, affects our conversation, right? Like...
Right, we might have to stop due to
men on horses. We almost hit a horse on the road back there earlier today. Did you see the dude on the horse? Mm-hmm. There was like a dude making traffic, like texting on his horse. Like,
oh my god!
Yeah. Anyway, because it's New Orleans.
People are like on their motorcycles texting, playing Pokemon fucking Go.
Yeah, and like only, you know, one in three motorcycles make it through the potholes. Right, like the potholes engulf two of them. Anyway, I just thought it was important. And now I'm seeing you in your element.
Whoa. I hate being in my car. I was in my car all day today.
Did that diminish your comedy by calling this your element?
Well, yeah, I think so. It was very disrespectful.
I've seen you in your element so many times. Now I'm seeing you in what causes you to do comedy.
Yes. So this is... I fucking struggle as an Uber driver as I'm trying to make this...
If we could Skype with your mother while we're in your car, I think I would have the full Eric Hollerbach spectrum.
Yeah, this car would go off a cliff. Just want to send me a frozen lasagna or something with a guilt trip note in it. But anyway.
Written on a razor blade.
I know, right?
Baked into the lasagna.
I would eat that shit and say, thank you, this merciful suffering is over. So, yeah, we first met you. You were the manager, now client defunct one.
I kind of try not to talk too much about
it. I know. So, I'm steering.
It's fine.
Steer into it. I'm steering into
it. Okay, you met me. Right, I was managing a theater, and there was a darkness.
I saw you. You were living on a futon for a minute there.
In the theater, yeah.
You know? It was like a Kafka-esque period of your life.
Like after you've been like a POW and you like are rescued, like they're released or whatever, and you're like back in the States, and it's like you get off the plane and you're just like, it's nice to like breathe air and like taste fruit and like drink water, like everything is better. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how I feel about my life now.
It's weird. So you were, like, you're a university professor.
Yeah, and you I'm a lecturer,
A semester off to, not so much as...
I didn't take the semester off. As an adjunct faculty, like, that's one of the terrible realities of higher ed, is it's just like Walmart. It's just a higher level. But the way that they treat staff and employees, like, so... last fall, I was not put on the teaching schedule. So it just like screwed me financially.
Right.
And then they hired me back super full time with a nice salary and everything. And then they cut me down on classes again. And they were like, the 100% that I was told, we're lowering your classes to put you below the rate so that we don't have to pay for your healthcare benefits.
Okay.
Like, so, you know, so anyway, I came to New Orleans because I had a semester. I was on the summer schedule and I was on the spring schedule, but then I was not put on the fall schedule. So I had 4 months of like, do I get a new full-time job or like, do I temp or what do I do?
Yeah.
Because I really love teaching and I was already on the spring schedule, right? So then I was asked to come to New Orleans during that time to help with the comedy theater and festival as like a temporary thing during my time of like unemployment from the university. And so that is what brought me here.
Yeah, so dealing with the university kind of seems like almost dealing with a bipolar boyfriend or whatever. You know, you're out on duress. No. Let me give you health care.
It's like an abusive relationship. And especially like higher ed too is very like, it's hierarchical. And there's a lot of like, it's not only hierarchical in terms of like your education level, like I'm master's level. And so I don't matter.
Right.
And I was even told, like one of my bosses told me, untie my hands at giving you more permanent employment and get your PhD. So in order to have more credibility or value, even though my course instructor evaluations are off the chart, like students are like, you changed my life. Like I'm a great professor and I don't need a higher level of education to teach or do like what I'm teaching, right? But I do, I have to put that investment in order to keep my job.
Right. Well, will your job like pay for your, or no. help pay for the doctor?
No.
Yeah.
And in other states they do, like in Louisiana they do. Like if you work at a university, like you or your family can like go to school for free there or
right.
whatever.
Yeah.
In Texas it's not like that.
So rude.
Yeah. So I'm actually considering getting my PhD now, even though I had like put that to bed a while ago. So I don't know, because I really, really love teaching and I really love my life in San Marcos.
Uh-huh.
And so it's tough.
You're very busy. You're a very busy person. You have a lot of kids, you know.
I have two kids.
All these little monsters.
I made two humans.
And you had a really funny Facebook shoot where you and all your kids were getting into mischief around the house.
Okay, so.
And then Facebook thought it was nudity and they pulled it off when it was
yeah.
gone.
Okay, so. I've got these different photo series that I do, like our family photo shoots. And so I did one a few years ago where mayhem was happening and I was like drinking wine and on my phone and, you know, and then I was looking at those photos and I realized, oh my God, my kids have grown up so much. Oh my God, my furniture is not the same. The stuff on the wall is not the same. I'm not drinking. I'm sober, you know? And I was like, it's time to upgrade and time to do another photo shoot, right? And so, whoa, a car just came flying past us, listeners.
Always without
scary.
A license plate. Always
oh
the cars
God.
Without a license plate that are total criminals are the ones who go 110.
They're going so fast. So that was scary. Like my heart is racing right now. So I did another photo series of me and my kids around my apartment in different situations. One was a photo of us in the bathroom, and I'm, like, in a bra and panties with a shower cap on, and my other kid is standing up on the counter, and he's in his underwear covered in shaving cream with the mirror covered in shaving cream, and then my other son is standing in front of me in his underwear, and he has lit a maxi pad on fire, and, like, that's, you know,
yeah.
It's clearly art, right? It's clearly comedy, but it's also a part of my branding is like, I'm this mom who, you know, has this crazy life. I live with two boys, you know? Well, anyhow, that photo got flagged and removed for nudity. And, it got like over 300 likes within the first hour of me posting it as my, my profile picture. And so it got flagged and removed immediately. And I reposted it with what Facebook said, like, we removed this for nudity. And I was like, hey, guys, Facebook removed this for nudity. There's no nudity here. Well, in that when that happened, it put me in, like, a different algorithm of Facebook, like a Facebook sex offender algorithm, right? So then someone else flagged or whatever a photo of me and my kids in bed reading a children's sexual health book. And the book that we're reading in the photo is for ages 4 and up. And that got flagged and removed for nudity. And I got put in 3-day Facebook jail where I could not use Facebook. I could not respond to Messenger. I couldn't, you know, anything. And then, so that was 3-day Facebook jail. And then randomly, one of my photographer friends took photos of me and my children at the river playing, and I posted this, or he posted the photos, and I made it my profile picture of my son on my shoulders, and we're in the river. So, of course, he's shirtless, because we have no problem with boys being shirtless in public, right? But he has long hair. So, it's a picture of him on my shoulders at the river. Well, on my birthday, my profile picture goes missing. It's just missing. And interestingly, one of my friends who was visiting Sweden at the time messages me on my birthday and is like, hey, happy birthday. Why don't you have a profile picture today? And I was like, why aren't you doing more Sweden stuff right now, first of all? You know? but she messages me and says this, and I just think, oops, no big deal, something happened. I repost it, right? Same profile picture.
Damn, that'll put you in, like, fucking Facebook death penalty.
It was bad, yeah. So then Facebook, 3 days later, 3 days after my birthday, I get this message from Facebook that was like, we removed some content you posted for nudity and sexual activity. And it's that picture of me and my kid in the river. And so I posted again on Facebook and I'm like, hey, everybody, Facebook said this has nudity and sexual activity, right? Well, I get put in 7-day Facebook jail.
Oh, no.
Because of that picture. Well, so at the end of my 7-day Facebook jail, I created a meme of that photo, and I wrote on the same photo, dear Facebook, it's a boy. In the meantime, when this has happened too during my 7-day Facebook jail, I also had to submit my driver's license to Facebook to prove that I was a real human being. That's what it says. The irony of this is, I'm arguing with a computer. Right. I'm like, here, computer, I'm a real person. Could you look at my photo and realize that it's a child, a shirtless boy? And I have 14 emails back and forth between me and the machine. Like, I'm literally, like, raging against the machine, right? So I write this open letter to Facebook and post it on my blog, which, you know, very beneficially draws, you know, hits to my website, which is kellystone.org, kellystone.org. I think that being a single mom is charitable. If you support me in my comedy.
Little plug there.
So, but it really did. It drove a lot of hits to my site and all this stuff. Well, so I post this meme in the computer that's just reading the photos. You know, like when you go to tag someone, it's like, are you trying to tag Eric Hollerback? Do you?
Right.
Like the computer already is trying. Well, the computer looked at that and said, long hair, lots of skin, alert, porn. Right? So I get put in 30-day Facebook jail.
This is the third level.
And so, and it's like, and I'm like, are you serious? So I sent the thing that Facebook sent me along with it to the news. And I said, I thought you guys might be interested. I know you're looking for like parent news tips or whatever. Within 40 minutes, the news station contacted me and they were like, we're driving to San Marcos to come interview you.
A lot of people talking about this today. Take a look at this photo. Does it look like something that shouldn't be on Facebook? Well, that's what Facebook thought, at least for a while.
The site banned a San Marcos mother temporarily, saying she violated community standards. KVU's Nicole Rosales explains how it all unraveled, all new at 6.
And then they said, we've already contacted Facebook for a statement, which I was like, oh, wow, you've got a phone number? Like, you've got the media, right? So I was like, hell yeah. So she comes down, interviews me, my kids, the photographer, yada, yada. We do the newscast. She goes off to edit it. And then she messages me the statement from Facebook. So Facebook responded to her, enables my account, says it was a mistake. And she's like, hey, can you confirm that your account is re-enabled? And there it was. Facebook never apologized to me. Facebook never sent me anything. I never got it. It was through the thing.
Through the robot.
But then that night after it aired on the Austin News, the producers messaged me asking for my consent for the photos to be used on a national level, and they put it to the outlets, and it made national news. I was on national news as like that mom with that.
All right. Well, there's only one thing to do. We got to play that clip. Let's play that clip.
Facebook claimed the image violated their community standards, displaying nudity and sexual activity.
I think it's some kind of automated system. Someone should really take a look at the picture. It's obvious a mother with a child.
And this isn't the first time this has happened. Back in April, this photo was reported for the same reasons. For 8-year-old Maine, it just doesn't make sense.
I felt a little mad because it was just me on her shoulders.
After removing the photo, Facebook blocked Stone from using the site. She says they enacted a 7-day probation period.
I can basically just watch Facebook, like from behind computer bars.
No commenting, no likes, no activity. making it difficult for not only socializing, but for work purposes.
I organize my panels for teaching through Facebook Messenger. I am a comedian, so bookers communicate with me through Messenger, and I can't even respond.
Once the ban was lifted, she took matters into her own hands, re-uploading the photo, but as a meme.
And it says, "Dear Facebook, it's a boy."
Stone says she hopes the company can fix their algorithm to prevent something like this from happening again. In San Marcos, Nicole Rosales, KVBS.
Are you serious? And I was like, all right, let me figure this out. I asked this other lady. She's over 50, hadn't had a period in 2 years. She started her period. Yeah, another bitch. She had an IUD, hadn't had a period in 2 years. She started her period. Like, I'm telling you, we probably should not have had that little ceremony on the beach under the moon hula hooping, because we seriously synced our fucking selves up. And so there weren't enough tampons to go around, is what I'm telling you guys. There weren't enough tampons. So I had to go MTV Unplugged, you know? Yeah, so I free bled for 24 hours. Free bled 24 hours, and I have never felt more like a wild woman in all my life. I just wanted to take my blood and rub it on my chest at the moon. And that's why last week there were dick jokes the whole fucking week, right? Because that's the world we live in. Let's talk about dicks all the time, but a bitch starts talking about her bloody cunt. We just eat meat and fuck vegans. All right, let's see. What's next? Dick jokes? You want more dick jokes?
Tampons. What's a cup tampon?
Cup tampon. Well, okay, so are you not going to segue, like, where it's like, okay, now we did
no,
a show?
No, we heard some of your show because I recorded some of it.
You recorded some of it.
So we just watched the show a little bit. You were being hilarious.
Thank
talking
you.
Talking about being on a woman's retreat with a cup tampon. You normally cup tampon. What's a
it's
cup tampon?
It's not a cup tampon. It's a menstrual cup.
What does that mean?
A menstrual cup. So it's
like
a
Dixie cup full of your period blood?
Essentially, it's like a Dixie cup, but it's made of like a, more like a, oh, I should even know the
plastic
the
shot glass.
It's not plastic.
Like a Jaeger plastic shot glass?
It's reusable. Like, you can boil it. Like, so it's kind of like stuff that maybe, like, your sex toys might be made out of. Like a,
Like a silicone?
But silicone's bad, and that's, you can't just have that sitting in your body like that. I mean, I know some people do with, like, implants, so that's weird.
I'm not into that.
Yeah, but anyway, so the Diva cup, there's lots of different menstrual cups. And there's disposable ones, and there's reusable ones. And yeah. But it's basically, it's a cup, like, it's a, I'm trying to think of a way to demonstrate it to you. Okay. Okay, you know how you make cupcakes?
Okay.
And there's a muffin tin.
Sure.
And sometimes you put those little paper.
The wax paper.
The cupcake holders in there. Now, if you took that cupcake holder and you're holding that in your hand, right? And you turned it upside down and put it.
Love you, Lance.
Bye.
Thank
Bye.
You, sir.
Nice to meet you.
You too. If you put that cupcake holder upside down into the cupcake tin,
yes.
That's kind of the mechanism of what you're doing, right? You're plugging up that orifice. It connects to the cervix, so it catches the blood flow, and then you take it out, you dump it out, you rinse it, you put it back in, and what's nice about
it, you drink it, you put it on organic salads.
I do know some women that like save their menstrual blood and then they'll put it like in their plants and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm a tripod.
Because it helps the plants grow. I do know some women that do that.
It gives life. Women give life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So menstrual cups are awesome. And the only, like with a tampon, there's a risk of toxic shock syndrome because bacteria can build up there. And it's cotton and fibrous. And so that's how the bacteria can live. And with these substances, there's no risk of toxic shock.
And who invented it, a woman or a man?
I don't know the answer to that, because I would think a cup was probably invented, like, in, like, you know, Old Testament times, like, back, you know. I'm sure they figured something out, because they had pessaries. They would use, like, beeswax to make, like, a plug on the cervix for birth control.
A lot of questions we got to get through. So there's someone who was walking by earlier. I said hello to this person. This person is filming a Kickstarter.
Ladies.
Tony Frederick. I'll see you later.
Do the podcast?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Good I'll get
to see
you on it, Tony. All right. Beautiful. So I forced upon you a Kickstarter video, a promo reel. You did not know that was happening. I forced it upon you.
That's true.
You did everything you could to sabotage it.
That's so not true. So here's what happened. That's
I'm
not true
recording,
at all.
I'm putting a Kickstarter video together that's going on my 31st birthday. It's going to be on Halloween of this year. And it will ask for money for my first stand-up special. I'm putting it together tonight. Lance Arnold is a beautiful man. He's putting it together. We're collaborating. He works at the Nicholls State College in the film program as a professor. Great guy, great comic. You were on it. What do you think? Can I announce now that if people donate $100, they're going to get your titties?
That is not what I said.
Okay, what did you say?
I said, I will send a tit pic.
It's going to be an individual one?
I will send a tit pic.
Now, am I going to be the holding company of this tit pic, and then I will release it upon each $100, or should I just email? I'm going to send you
everyone
all the emails.
Everyone that sends a $100 bill, I will send a tit pic. So.
Now, what if they send it over, like, a digital means, you know, if people donate $100 over Kickstarter? Instead of a $100 bill,
well,
you know.
I don't know. We gotta negotiate. And so...
Are you going to send originals, or do you have, like, a file?
I mean, this isn't something... Like, I wasn't like, oh, hey, I'm getting involved in a Kickstarter shit, you
it's
know?
It's so rude.
Right. It's not rude.
It's so rude.
It's like out of nowhere to be like, hey.
There's a river in San Marcos. It is the main reason
why. The San Marcos River.
You have a thing with rivers.
I have a thing with rivers. That's my tattoo, is the San Marcos River.
Mm-hmm. What's with it? Why is it so great?
It's 72 degrees year-round. And it starts at the Aqua Arena Springs, which is the headwaters, and through archaeological evidence, it is believed that San Marcos is the longest, most continually inhabited place in North America.
Because of the source of water.
It's a huge thing.
Now,
could
people frack on there?
No. There's lots of regulations because there are four species that live there in the river and nowhere else on the planet of Earth. And so they're protected. And so dip
what are
through,
those species? Are they frogs?
No. So it is the Texas wild rice. There's a rice that's an indigenous plant that only grows there and nowhere else on the planet. Okay. It's really cool. There's the fountain darter, which is a tiny little fish. There's the blind salamander, or the San Marcos salamander. And there is the riffle beetle. And it's like a version of a beetle and all of these different ones, but they only live there. And so I actually kind of think it might be the Garden of Eden. But when one of the Spanish conquistadors or French conquistadors, I don't know, when the explorers were
yes.
discovering the Americas and in, initiating genocide, they were looking for the Fountain of Youth, right? Some of them were seeking the Fountain of Youth. And when they got to San Marcos, the springs where the water comes out used to shoot above the water about 10 to 15 feet, like a fountain. And it stays 72 degrees year-round, the river where I live. And so in the winter, it's like a warm, temperate bath. And in the summer, it's a cool, refreshing pool. And so they thought they'd found the Fountain of Youth. So I live at the Fountain of Youth.
Two more questions, and then you have to go. Number one, we had a pussy challenge 2015.
We did.
And now you have a sober challenge 2016.
I had a sober and celibate challenge. I actually
So what happened with that?
Okay,
so our pussy challenge was to see who got more pussy in 2015. I lost. Second question is, who...
I lost. Let's move on.
Second question is, so you had a sobriety challenge of 2016.
Celebriety. It was celebriety.
What precipitated that incident?
Okay. So I did the podcast with you.
And then you wanted to...
About my wretched, wretched hell breakup that I had where
yes.
I dated a dude who... went on a crack bender, yada, yada, yada.
Dr. Mike Swenson,
who
was on this podcast.
Ew, yeah. So, So I decided in leaving New Orleans and going back home to San Marcos when I started my new year, 2016, I wanted to
You went back on the teaching schedule.
Yep.
Let's do this right. Let's do this clean.
I didn't even have to do that. No, it wasn't about doing it right and doing it clean. I had read an article about creatives and how we spend a lot of energy and time, like, with output and, exhaling and putting things out, and that we need to take time to inhale and take a year basically off, but not off, like maybe doing more inward stuff so that it will help us to be more creative and better. And that makes a lot of sense in so many ways. You have to change the oil in your car, you know, you have to rotate your tires, you have to do maintenance. And so I was like, you know what, I'm burnt out, I've been really low, all this stuff's happened, you know, yuck. And I just felt yuck. And I felt that about October of last year is where I was already, like, making my plans for 2016. And and I decided in 2016 I'm going to be sober and celibate for a whole year. And then that's where Molly Long, actually, Molly Reuben Long, she said, oh, that sounds like Eat, Pray, Love. And I was like, oh? Because I had no idea. But Elizabeth Gilbert, the writer of Eat, Pray, Love, she takes a year of celibacy to find herself, right? And so that's why she does the Eat, Pray, Love. So anyway, I was like, oh, cool, whatever. So that was my plan. And New Year's Eve was my last glass of champagne. Actually, beer. I drank beer and champagne, right? And I woke up New Year's Day, and I had beer in my coffee mug, and that was kind of a regular thing. And I went to take a sip of it immediately, and as I did, I was like, oh my God. I was like, no more drinking, I'm gonna be sober. And then I was like, I just tried to drink beer out of a coffee mug first thing in the morning. Maybe I definitely need to not be drinking. You know what I'm saying? And that's the only time, that's the closest any booze has come to my mental health, or even as like a consideration of a drink. Like, that's, it hasn't been difficult. Now the celibacy, that didn't work out because I just kept sleeping with my stupid fucking ex. And, you know, I've done material about it, you know, because he was, like, really fat, and so I think it made him go in deeper, and, you know, and I was alone and sad. But he really likes drugs and bad people and all the stuff, and I was like, I need you to make yourself scarce, stop coming around, quit it, you know. And I cut off contact, and so that was good. But then I was like, well, you know, I've already been fucking, so I guess I could, you know, just, like, sleep with people, right? But I didn't really. I slept with a couple of people that, like, I slept with, whatever. I gave up on the, immediately I just gave up on the celibacy. I was like, well, because I think the alcohol is what has led me to bad sex decisions. I don't usually make sober bad sex decisions, mm-hmm. right? So, it's not, anyway. So then, and then I took on a boyfriend this year. And we have
took this, on it as a charity or?
No, well, you know, that? Like, as like, that's a new development. Oh. You know? Yeah.
There's a new team on the roster.
Well, you brought it up already when you were asking about the river stuff. So a new team on the roster. So I started dating this dude who's, like, really great. Like, pretty much the antithesis.
He's got energy. Of the he's dude got before. Focus. He can follow through
he's
with a plan.
He's calm. He's collected. He's older. He's age appropriate.
I think I met his family.
You did. You did.
We had chicken wings, and they were throwing all... You know, I shared some intimate details about my love life during that dinner. And then,
you did.
And then his mom started throwing it in my
his
face.
His mom got joke of the night. His mom got, like, an applause break.
Wow.
She got joke of the night.
I was furious. I wanted strangle her.
But it was so funny.
And for a flash, that was my Jersey anger.
Okay.
And then it was just adulation.
Oh.
After that.
Yeah, so for the listeners, the background there, too, is that we had a potluck, dinner when I first got into town this week with basically all of my comedian friends. And I told everybody, hey, I'm going to get a bunch of Manchus, bring food. And everyone did. And it was lovely. It was so lovely. It was so lovely. I had such a wonderful time.
Boyfriend Allison Hotard, Corey Mackey, and Esther, John Rowe was there, Byron Broussard was there. It was unbelievable. We had a good time.
It was really nice. And I had a few other friends text me that they decided to stay in and watch the debate, and I was like, totally understandable, you know, all the things. And so it was nice because I came to New Orleans with my boyfriend and his parents on the first half of this trip, and so that was sort of like a boyfriend and parent appropriate activity to do without dragging them out to open mics at a bar or weirdness. They're very painful, and then also the parents are very waspy. I mean, they are. And
what is WASP? Is that a
white
acronym?
White Anglo-Saxon Protestant. WASP. That's like a, and boyfriend just finished a 410-mile canoe race that day that we were arriving. So I came in early for the fest to see him at the finish line, and then we all came to New Orleans
together. Can I just say, like, as a woman, probably it's like, wow, that's a swimmer, you know? Like, how are your swimmers doing? What's going on with your juice?
Are you talking about his sperm? Like, his...
Yeah, just like he's a swimmer. He's got that alpha sperm, you know? It's, like, dedicated to its objective.
So, wait, do you think that I'm interested in his, like, semen?
I'm like, just saying, his, like every time... Okay, well, I've met Chris a few times. All I'm saying is, every time he's been introduced to me, the credential of rowing 412
paddling.
Miles...
Paddling.
That's been mentioned. I just wonder if that's an allegory.
And they broke every record of every stage along the way.
That's alpha spunk right there.
Oh, he's amazing. He's amazing. But he's also a twin. He's a twin.
Wow, there's two of them?
There's two of them.
Do you think they could fill up an ice cube?
Speaking of his sperm, like, I have to worry about splittage, right? Isn't that what makes identical? No, it's when one egg splits, right? It's one
egg. Are they
going
to split your eggs in half?
But wouldn't that be... I mean, no. Anyway.
We're doing a little podcast. With Eric.
That's right. Nature Boy singing.
Nature Boy. Chris
Congrats
Anthony.
Congrats on your win.
The winner,
Chris Anthony,
the headliner. Wow. He won the encore.
When's the next time you are doing a show? Have you already?
Tomorrow at New Movement and Friday at New Movement.
Because I didn't hear you promote it. Okay, so tomorrow New Movement.
I'll see you Thursday.
What time?
7.
Yeah.
Friday at New Movement at 7 as well. I'm in another show, I think, at New Movement also tomorrow, but I don't know the time on it. I'm on 2 shows tomorrow, but they just booked me on 1, and I don't know all the details. But it's a competition. It's called Sudden Death, so it's got 30 comedians. You might want to check that one out. Everybody's doing, like, 1 minute kind of a thing.
All right, see you.
All right.
Tomorrow.
Thank you, Johnny
Yeah,
Rock.
Thursday. Yeah.
Bye, you crazy. Oh, funny.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thanks. I'm getting hugged right now by the singer that
went
on after Eric headlined.
When I went up there, my first time for comedy, I talked about my godchild because I don't have no kid.
Oh, God.
That's from the last podcast.
So I'm currently also experiencing indigestion or like poop, feeling of poopage from the steak from tonight.
Yeah, you got to get back.
I'm fine. I'm really
so
fine.
So do you want to...
I think I'm going to start my period this week during the festival.
Okay, we'll get a cup. Well, this is.
I didn't pack it. I forgot to pack it.
It's just a tiny cup. It's a little plastic cup.
Well, it's like $40
cup.
Because it's a reusable, right? It's like a one-time investment thing.
Yeah.
It's like
if you put vodka in it, would it be like a Bloody Mary?
If you put vodka in it when there was blood in it, and you added, I don't know, Tabasco. And
lemon.
Some celery salt.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a little Worcestershire, black pepper, you know, some hominy. Maybe that's already in there. I don't know.
Yeah.
Ew, right? What did she just say?
So we went all the way down that river. He was...
Okay, so we met through paddling. So, because you know that I did a big race this summer, right? I did 262 miles.
That's it?
In 72 hours.
Wow.
As a novice. What? I finished it. And, like, finishing is, like, a huge thing. So, anyway, that's when he started to find me more attractive, is when I finished the race.
Wow, so it's like two, you have alpha eggs, he's got the alpha spunk.
Why
it's
are
like,
you
wow.
trying to procreate us?
I'm just saying, I'm really into this like Hitler stuff, you know, he was trying to make like the alpha list, you know? And then it's like, I just see what you guys are doing with paddle boats, and I'm just like, you guys are...
Canoes.
Okay. I don't care. You know?
But so, yeah, he finished the 410-mile Tour de Teche, the Tour de yeah. Louisiana. So they started in Shreveport.
That's way far away. That's like the whole, the northernmost point of the
and
state.
And they paddled 410 miles
yeah.
down to Berwick, Louisiana, which is like an hour and 15 minutes from New Orleans.
South of here. That's the whole
west,
asshole.
West, west, 90 west.
Wow.
I think. Yeah, and so I took a group of my lady New Orleans friends to the mm-hmm. finish line to go cheer for them, and people were, like, losing their minds because we all showed up in outfits with signs, and...
y'all had cops. You were menstruating at the same time.
Not yet,
there was
no.
menstrual blood.
But we unloaded out of my friend's minivan.
As they went through the finish line, y'all sprayed your comps on them. Right. You know
oh,
I mean?
My God. I would love to do that.
It was almost like the tomato throwing in Spain.
No, no. But we did. We had signs, and it was so great. One of the signs said, canoes your daddy.
Yeah.
And so anyway, we had so much fun, and this dude was filming us, and he's like, my wife's not going to believe how much fun y'all were having out here.
Yeah, that was his first time out of the cave in a while.
Well, no. Well, I mean... canoeing is like kind of a quiet, solitary sort of thing. So it's a lot of like quiet people that don't mind like sitting under a bridge waiting to like give water to someone who's been paddling for hours to get
yeah.
to, you know what I'm saying?
At a certain
so when
point,
we show up
just...
all crazy, they're yeah. like, whoa, these bitches crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where he was like, my wife's not going to believe this.
I want to be like the wise owl in the middle of someone's journey, like, ooh, ooh, here's Gatorade, ooh, protein bar.
Yeah, no, it's called a team captain, mm-hmm. and you provide, like, food and water
ooh,
and medicine.
Here's some toilet paper, poo off the side of the canoe.
You know, if you're gonna do that, you don't do it off the side of the canoe. Like you pull over and you pop a squat. Like you do like a good full yoga squat.
But yo, you're in the race. You know,
two
the
best
race,
shits of my life.
I'm just saying the race, huh?
The two best shits of my whole life were during the safari, for
wow.
sure. Yeah. It was morning.
Did you weigh them or did you take photographs?
I went, but then you can't have electronics. Is it like, how am I going to take a photograph? Like, you can't use your phone. Like, you can't have, like, outside contact, right? And so I really wanted to take photographs, like, for sure. And I was so proud. And so my teammate, like, we were paddling, and I was, like, just going on and on about how beautiful my shit looked, right? And I was like, do you see that tree right there? Do you see that log? I was like, it was like that. Like, and she was like, Kelly, God. But I was like, what else are we going to talk about? Like, we paddled for 72 hours,
hey,
and that was sleeping for, like, 90 minutes per 24-hour cycle. Like, we were paddling.
Do you want to sell, like, your fiber brand right now? I'm your shit model. Listen.
Wait.
My dookie be like
wait,
Heidi
what?
Klum on the beach, you know what I mean? My dookie are so beautiful. It's like they're like the most glorious poops
like,
of all time.
Like, are you saying like I should like do a calendar?
Yeah.
Oh my God, the water safari. We should totally do like
you could have a
dookie
Miss
of
October.
Different safari. Like, of
yeah.
like, yeah.
Put little bikinis on them.
Like John Boogie, the guy that has finished 38 water safaris.
Wow, I'm not keeping up with all this. Like,
I would like,
calendars.
I'd like a picture of his dookie. Like, that would
yeah.
be a good, that would be a good, probably that would be a good June.
He's
the month
not good
of June.
Swimmers. You see where I'm going with this? Kelly, so
swimmers.
I'm not gonna take any more of your time. You know, you're staying in a Airbnb with Allison Hotar, and she's trying to.
No, I'm staying
you.
In her apartment.
No, that's like a free Airbnb. Airbnb.
I'm just staying with my friend Hotar.
No, that's not true. But
it
anyway,
is true.
So you're doing this Hell Yes Fest. You're a vagabond.
I am. I'm in the New Orleans Homecoming Show, and mm-hmm. I'm also in Greetings from Queer Mountain, and I'm in Sudden Death.
Oh, yeah. Well, you once ate out the pussy of someone who called themselves Who Dad, who had Who Dad on their license plate.
First of all, you don't know what I did or what has been done.
I heard like, all that stuff.
Whatever. That. You don't know anything.
All right.
Second of all, so you're talking about, yeah, Chalmette.
I'm just trying to keep up our
the Chalmation.
In case they listen to the last episode.
Oh, if they go back?
You know, if they listen to the last episode of Highway Diary with Kelly Stone, you know, we were talking about some lady who dat who
was that I knew there was like a person. No, it's not who dat. It was dat girl.
Yeah, dat
girl. GRL, dat girl.
Well, dat girl ate out your pussy in a van.
Not in a van. She puked in her own van.
Yeah, in a bag.
She puked into a bag in her own van.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So that was your bisexual...
What?
So is that what you're going to talk about during this Queer Mountain show?
You act like I have, like, these, like, one-time experiences that you are aware of.
Lies.
You don't know my life at all.
I don't know your life.
Yeah, you don't know my life.
Is this a Mari episode?
No, that was me doing James Vanderbeek from Varsity Blues. He's like, I don't want your life.
Oh.
And I said, you don't know my life.
Yeah.
That's right, you guys, I'm a 90s girl.
Acting chops.
Varsity the Blues.
Next question.
James Vanderbeek.
That
Dawson,
girl.
Dawson, it was
Shave
Dawson.
Your pussy, right?
I'm not talking about.
Next question. Now,
oh my God.
You were banned from Facebook for 30 days.
I was on the national news.
A lot of people talking about this today. Take a look at this photo. Does it look like something that shouldn't be on Facebook? Well, that's what Facebook thought, at least for a while.
Did that help your career? Did that hurt you? Getting banned? You know, I got banned from the Hi-Ho. I still this upcoming Wednesday, Sunday, I can't go there because I was banned from.
You got banned for like doing dickish shit. I got banned for putting a picture of my child and me at the river.
Dickish shit. Wow.
Yeah, didn't you like call the host like names and like didn't you do like?
The host
you did it.
Made fun of me, I made fun of him, even.
Oh.
Banned from the Hi-Ho for life. Anyway, that's my interpretation.
Mm.
Smoke Pop Worship Aliens has been episode 153 with Kelly Stone of Highway Diary.
This has been weird. Guys, come to my website or friend me on Facebook or follow me on
KellyStone.org.
Or Instagram or... You know,
she's frequently banned from Facebook. Yeah,
or
but try it.
Book me because I'm a good speaker.
She's a good speaker on
lots of topics.
Public health.
All of my workshops are listed on my website, KellyStone.org.
Wow.
I bet a bitch starts talking about her bloody cunt.